Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Hope you're having a great morning here at 6 a.m. We are up for you. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne.
We just had another bad transcript moment.
Yeah, Seth brought
in. Going to show up in the transcripts. And
Seth brought in two giant grapefruits today.
Elite held them next to his crotch. How big these grapefruit were.
That you were holding in your lap
at the
time.
So the defendant put them in his lap and said, these grapefruit? At least started it.
I like that you're preparing yourself for the ultimate trial here by calling yourself the defendant.
It's turned into a little game I play, right? Where things that when I walk around through the day and I do things that might be misinterpreted or whatever, I imagine what it's going to look like in the transcripts, and then I try to defend myself.
It's a good exercise. Yeah. It's very preemptive. Right?
Yeah.
It's very visionary.
I walk in with a defense all the time.
Yeah. I don't think Ali goes into that other studio there and starts jotting down notes.
Ali started that one.
She did. Yeah. I'll go down with the ship with you on the grapefruit one here. So we welcome you all.
And for the record, they are large grapefruits.
They're huge grapefruits.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a metaphor for something.
Grapefruits are awesome. They fill you up. Low glycemic index.
They help the digestive tract as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So we welcome you in on a Wednesday, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. And yesterday was an interesting day around town, mostly because the news stories of the day had a lot to do with upper management.
Upper management.
It's
an exciting,
baby.
What a day. We had reports of the first, in succession. Dusty Baker was reported by Bob Nightingale to be the choice of the Astros as the next manager. It's not so clear that that's actually true.
Bob Nightingale didn't just report that Dusty Baker was going to be the manager. He wrote a column that was basically a wedding toast to Dusty Baker about how awesome he is.
The other game I like to play is Guess the Source.
Yeah, we'll do that later.
Boy, if I were to guess the source on this one, I don't know who was speaking so glowingly about Dusty Baker and had knowledge that the Astros had chosen him. Either Dusty Baker or his wife, I suppose. I don't know.
Right.
Somebody close to Dusty Baker was a source on this one.
We'll Zapruder that story a little bit later. But you're right. That was the first. And by the way, just to level set, because there are probably people walking around thinking that there's going to be a press conference for Dusty Baker at some point in the next 24 to 48 hours. That deal is not done yet. They are still working with Dusty Baker. The Astros have made no final decision on who the manager of the team is going to be. So I guess the gist of that story is that maybe Dusty Baker is one of the leaders in the clubhouse, maybe the leader in the clubhouse at this point.
Yeah.
But he is not the manager of the Houston Astros.
Right. And as I was trying to gauge the reaction yesterday, I think a lot of people are excited because on the human side of things, Dusty Baker feels like the guiding hand that you want on a team that's probably going to have continued controversy, continued scrutiny for sure. And all those human side of the things, he seems to check off a lot of boxes if the Astros do eventually indeed hire him. On the opposite side is all the people that were skeptical of a guy that doesn't have a great reputation for really embracing the analytics. Not to be ageist, but he is 70 years old and he is very old school baseball. You know, Brent Strom has embraced the analytics. He's about the same age as Dusty Baker. So it's not like it can't be done. But that's where people, you check in with people at various stops, the other four teams that Dusty Baker has been the manager of, and you hear resoundingly, he's not going to be into what the math nerds are telling him.
Yeah, I think my main criteria for this managerial hire, Seth, because I think whoever it is going to be embracing the analytics, whether they like it or not.
Yeah,
because of the, and I think more and more old school managers do, because it's what a lot of them have been doing anyways, couched a little differently.
Right. Well, we've already gone over, you know, with the Nationals when Dusty Baker was there those two seasons, they were middle of the road in defensive shifts.
Yes.
So I feel like that's a pretty good gauge for, is your organization using analytics? It's not like Dusty Baker was out there saying, nope, the shortstop stays where he is.
Going with a gut feel, man. Yeah, going with a gut feel. So my main criteria was just bring in somebody who is a player's manager who's not going to upset the apple cart in terms of chemistry in the clubhouse. And by everything that I've read and people I've texted with and talked to that have either covered or rooted for a team that Dusty Baker managed, they all seem to be cool with that aspect of it. So Dusty is truly in a situation where it's more about don't screw it up than it is something he's going to need to bring to the table. That's number one.
Uno.
The other story from an upper management standpoint is actually in some ways a bit of a non-story. It's more affirmation of what we all knew already, but it got everybody a lot more heated than Dusty Baker being the Astros manager. And that was the statement from the Houston Texans, from Cal McNair, CEO, the owner of the team, basically, he and his mom, Janice, the statement essentially applying the title of what we already knew to both Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. Bill O'Brien now has the general manager title to go along with head coach. Jack Easterby will be the executive vice president of football operations. The statement reads as follows. Preparations are underway for the 2020 season. I thought it was important to update titles, roles, and responsibilities for Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby so they more accurately reflect the way we've been operating for the past 8 months. I was encouraged by the progress that our team made on the field this year, which was due in part to our new structure, operating approach, and the leaders within our football operations group. I'm proud that we provided our fans with many thrilling victories at home, including a playoff win, and we delivered another double-digit win season. Our fans deserve that, but now it is time for the organization to get back to work toward our pursuit of a world championship for the city of Houston. Seth, what was your initial reaction when you saw this news?
My initial reaction was, oh, okay, so they're definitely not getting Nick Caserio. Unless Caserio is so dead set on getting the hell out of New England. And we'll see what happens with the quarterback. And
he'll have six other places he can go.
He could go and be a general manager, unless he doesn't want to be a general manager. Oh, but Jack Easterby is also now, and there's the other notable promotion or... Yeah. I guess job title change.
Executive VP of football ops.
Executive VP of football ops. Right. So I feel like that would have been what Caserio would come and do.
A great
point. If he wasn't named the GM, that would be the higher up position. So I don't think there's really room for Caserio. And maybe the last time that Caserio and Easterby will ever have had a moment was at the ring ceremony last year, where they probably, you know, delicately touched each other on the shoulders and looked into each other's eyes and thought, hey,
that whole thing seems even weirder.
Our whole future is in front of us. Oh, wait a second. Bob Kraft just saw us. Scat. Scat.
Yes.
Get out. Scatter. That's right. Scatter. That's right. That would be whatever their code word was.
Yeah.
Or safe word, whatever you want to call it.
It's really interesting because for quite a bit of the season, off season, there have been people going, well, I just want to hear Bill O'Brien's the general manager. Stop being so coy, O'Brien. We want to hear that you're the general manager. Then the team puts out a statement that gives Bill O'Brien the title general manager. Well, and everybody's like, I can't believe that you promoted Bill O'Brien.
Well, me, oh my, I'm just one of many. Apparently the committee got together and decided that little old me was going to be the general manager.
I'm as surprised as anybody.
What a grand designation. Ah, I can't tell you. It caught me quite by surprise. I didn't expect to be honored thusly.
Thusly.
Pit-a-pat goes my little heart, wee little heart.
Well, we can't have... Southern Belle O'Brien will not stand anymore.
Southern Belle O'Brien is the queen of the county.
Yeah. So I will say this. There were a lot of people who were angry with the announcement, but at least we've got a degree of clarity now.
We have clarity. We also have confirmation that O'Brien was... perhaps not being completely forthright on the way things were operating.
Oh, you mean the audio we're going to play in the next segment?
I've been listening for 6-7 months. Listen. Everybody's just going to have to get used to it. This is a different scenario. Yeah. Different than anything else in the NFL.
Right.
Woo!
Right.
It's crazy. Oh, actually, no. It's pretty much you've been operating as the
GM. Did you just jazz hands the
jazz
crazy?
Hands. That's the other thing Bill O'Brien's going to do. Now that he's not Southern Belle, he's going to be jazz hands Bill.
A lot of jazz hands. All right, so we're
now I got everybody gather around because I got a story.
Nobody beats
the
Wiz.
What we're going to do. We're going to sign up Whitney, sign up Tunsil, and then we're going to give it to Sean a pile of goo. That's what we call money, you see, here in River City.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.